Welcome to the Smarter, Wealthier podcast, presented by Jags Mechanical, with your host, Spencer Dillinger, and co-host, Gabe Rogers. And here they are.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Smarter, Wealthier podcast. Today, we're talking about why most companies just want you to stay in a truck forever, and why we don't. So I think this is really about the mentality that you can sometimes get in your head when you're out in the field, especially when it's hot. You're running lots of service calls and you just start to wonder, you know, is this all that I'm ever going to do? Am I only ever going to just keep running service calls and just keep doing the same things over and over and over? Which is fine. You know, it's great to do that, and there is some benefits to the longevity and perfecting your craft and perfecting your, you know, your customer service and craftsmanship. But there are those that have leadership potential and they get stuck into a place where they don't ever get to exercise those talents and abilities. So, Gabe, you were in the field as a service technician for, you know, how long? It was Quite a while running service,
yeah. I mean, even before Jags.
You were on construction before Jags, yeah. Right? So that was less like running service calls at new places, right?
Yeah, so in 2014 all the way until probably like 2021 maybe, and then that's when I stopped running service calls. Still, even now, you still help out with service calls, but it's kind of funny you started out with you know, you think you're going to be in a truck forever. When I was a kid, if I got to be in a truck forever, I thought that would have been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's nothing wrong with being in it for staying in a truck for the long term. I mean, there are my dad actually is a generator technician, and he's been in a truck his whole life and has loved it. You know, going a new place every day, there's a lot of benefits to that. You know, there's a lot of benefits to meeting new people. You meet some of the best people in our industry. I mean, working in the restaurants, you meet entrepreneurs, you meet people that are
and what
experts
we do,
in
you meet
craft.
Restaurateurs and all people watching brands grow and stuff like that, which has been pretty cool to see that over time.
So I want to talk about how, if you felt this way at all when you were in the field, and if not, you know, what would you say to somebody that is struggling with that?
Like sitting in a truck forever, like you think you're going to be there forever.
Do you ever feel stuck when you were riding in a truck?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely times where, like, you know, 2014, I definitely didn't feel that way. I mean, you're in your first year. And really, even for, like, the first 5 years, I didn't really pay too much attention to it until there was a day where I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm at the point now where I want to move up to the next level personally. And so
I feel like that probably hits when you see the company and the way that it's running, and you feel like you have something you could contribute to it, and you can't do that and be a full-time service technician.
Yeah, I agree with that. That I just remember there being a point where I was like, all right, I need to grow personally. And my own, I think you've said it many times before, or at least in personal conversations, where I need to grow my wealth at some point. Like, how do I make my own personal things grow? Okay, we have a great job. We make a good living. It's not terribly hard on you with what, like, on your body physically. I mean, there are bad days. There are some hard physical things that you do. But there was never, like, that's what was turning me off. It was more like, okay, I feel like we can move to the next level somehow. How do I do that? Where do I go to look for those things? And that's the way I started to feel around 2019 area. So about 5 years into the field, like, okay, can I be a service technician forever and do a good job and probably make a good living? Absolutely. But is that where I want to stay, or do I have more to contribute for my family and for even the company I'm working for? Is there a way for me to do more and be a part of more of a bigger picture? I also think that came with a little bit more of just being getting older. #mature. getting a little bit older and being like, all right, we want to do something that's, you know, I want to be a fruitful tree.
Yeah.
That someone can come some, pick some fruit off of, and I'm willing to be a part of it instead of always just being like just a tree with leaves. You know, yeah. No one can consume the leaves. Maybe a few squirrels.
Now, I definitely want to go back to something you said about thinking about growing your wealth. And I do want to clarify, like, you just meant because of your position at Jags and the potential for, you know, making the company bigger and growing it as a family member of the founding family of the company. But not that you couldn't have built wealth as a technician.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause like one of the things that like I've learned over the last since 2019 is I think I heard Jordan Peterson say it one time, with a little bit of discernment, $75,000 is wealthy in the United States. And like now that I'm a little bit further down the road, that's 100% accurate statement. You can do a lot of things. I mean, we talked about it a couple episodes ago about how just starting doing 3% into like a 401k system is going to yield you a ton of money in the future, and not super far future. I'm 33 years old in a week or whatever the date is. And,
by the time the podcast posts, you will be 33.
Yeah. 33 years have went by really fast. So it's really not that far away for another 30 years. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just the way things go. So it was more like, I felt like there was a point where like, I want to be able to do something to contribute to people and then get to the point where we're helping. I wanted to feel that way of helping grow people into things and be a part of a company that's not just, hey, it's these five people work here and that's it. Like, I feel like we had a really cool thing going on and we just needed a little bit of something to do. And I wanted to be a part of that. Or there's, you know, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a common desire because I mean, when we do our wealth planning sessions with each, we do a wealth planning session with each of our technicians every 6 months. And when we have those conversations, that's a common thing that they bring up is, I want to contribute something to other people coming up in this. You know, they see the benefit that most of the time they're somebody that didn't have experience in this before they came here. And now that they do, they love it. They love what they do. That was kind of how I felt, because even though I didn't spend nearly as much time in the trades as you, like actually running service, I felt like when I was doing it, I was beneficial. I was productive. I was making myself better every day. And I wanted to see more people do that. I definitely felt that desire very early on, was just like, as soon as I got it, like even basic things like, you know, understanding saturated temperatures with refrigeration. Like,
I remember that day.
Yeah. Once I understood that and had run calls where that was beneficial and I was seeing the, you know, the fruit of that knowledge, it was like, I want other people to know this and I want other people to understand it because I want them to feel this. Cause when you get a cooler making temp and you watch it cycle on and off, it's just like so satisfying if it wasn't running before. So like, I definitely was one of those people that was feeling like, how could I help more people do this?
Yeah, I agree with that. I remember we had a technician in 2019, maybe it might have been early 2020. It was definitely towards the end of 2019 or early 2020 that came in. And this was before we had like our whole hiring process and everything that we have now. One of the technicians came in, he wanted a technician job. And he came in with a wrinkled shirt, just looked like a mess. And I remember Mike Rogers was like, if you come back tomorrow with your shirt not wrinkled, I'll hire you. And it was one of those things. He was like, well, I don't have an iron. And he was like, well, let me teach you what you can do since you don't have an iron. Do this, 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 and this, and be here at 8 a.m. And that kid went and did it and learned how to do something new. And it was just cool to see people like, around our company and around the things that we're doing, get excited about that and then get better.
Yeah.
Like just across the board. And that's what's exciting about the things that go on here. And when you're in the field, sometimes you're not seeing that because you're by yourself. And even when I was out in the field, it was probably happening. You just don't see it because you're by yourself. And trying to see what people have gotten better at
weekly. We've seen a lot in the last year. I mean, think about how many people we hired last year, and now they're out there, you know.
Kicking butt.
Yeah, and the customers are loving them. And they're delivering the results. So, you know, think about how satisfying that has to be for them. You know, you start out and you're like, well, before this, I was a host at,
Silence your cell phone.
they're like, before this, I was a host at, you know, Holiday Inn or whatever. And now they're coming out and saving millions of dollars worth of food in a walk-in freezer.
Yeah.
So
it is neat to see guys come in and learn some things and bring in some, like, when you have people like that, like you're coming from a Holiday Inn, it's really neat to see people that have a whole new, like, they're bringing a new set of eyes to something. They're not, you know, set in the, this is what this industry has done for this many years. You're actually getting a new view, like, well, on the other side of things, we would appreciate it if these things were done. And so guys are actually coming up with really cool, innovative ways to fix things, take care of things. We're kind of getting off track on that, but it has been neat to see that. That's one of the things that you don't even realize. Like I said, it comes with age and maturity.
Yeah, I think a lot of different perspectives have been brought to Jags just from hiring inexperienced people and putting them through our training program. I mean, the majority of trainees that have been successful here have been from the food service industry. They've come from the food service industry, whether that was restaurant managers or bartenders or, you know, servers, whatever it was. Most of our successful techs have come from that industry or adjacent industries. So it is interesting the perspective that you get from that side of it. But I do want to go back to the topic about feeling stuck in a truck. I think there's multiple paths that you could take to get out of there. But depending on what your aspirations are, I think a lot of times when I'm talking to techs that are like, I want my trajectory to be this, they're talking about training. That's a big one that gets brought up a lot, is I want to train people. And usually they're like, eventually I'd like to train people, you know? So there is like a tenure and experience that you want to have when you get to that spot.
Yeah.
But I see that desire a lot with techs. And the reason I bring that up is because I think at other companies where when people are feeling stuck, they might already be training people. But have you ever trained somebody at another company that they just the HR department or whoever's in charge of hiring just hired somebody in and stuck them with you and you don't?
I'm trying to remember. I mean, this is going back.
Because this is the problem with training. Let me just walk you through, like, my mindset with training is, like, you get excited about what you're doing, right? You're really good at it. You're excited about what you're doing. You're excited to show it to somebody else. And then the new guy shows up and gets in your truck and you're driving with him and you're so excited. And then they're completely disinterested. They're on their phone. They're vaping. They're, you know, and all of your excitement and anticipation for somebody else to learn it is just completely drained at that point. And you're like, oh man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I wanted to see the light bulbs coming on for somebody.
I'm trying to think, man, going back to previous companies, actually I only worked at maybe two other places, so it's kind of hard. I was so young. I don't remember. I remember we had people at a job site, but it was a lot of temporary workers because it was construction work. So you're not even going to waste your time teaching. You find out, what do you know? You ask them the question, what do you know? All right, do this here. But I mean, ever since I've been here, anytime we hired a new person, they rode with me right off the rip, yeah. Usually pre 2020. Like they would ride with me right off the rip. So I always had someone with me when they were new, at least for a while, even if they were experienced, just so they could learn kind of how the Jags operated and how we went through some things. So,
yeah, in saying that, that's not the experience at Jags. Typical. Yeah, that's not the typical experience at Jags. No.
Because I mean, I'm sure you have experience in that from your previous places of employment.
Yeah.
And getting like, hey, train this person how to do the thing.
Yeah. In the food service industry especially, you set people up and they do great while you're training them, and then you walk away and you come back and, you know, there's piles of dishes because they didn't do their job. They're just like, well, I'm just here for a paycheck. And so that does happen. But I've had it happen in Jag's pre-hiring process before our hiring process here is
pretty
intense.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just came to my mind something. It's not like an actual job thing, but since I play the guitar and the piano and all that good stuff, I've had several people be like, hey, can you train my kids? And I'm like, sure. And then they show up and the kid's all excited day one. And so you show them some things. And then next week they show up and they never practiced. And then like you slowly just watch the desire disappear from them very quickly. And then at that point, I just tell the parents or someone like, yeah, they're not interested. Like, I'm not going to put a desire in them to learn. I that's the one thing that I've ever seen. Like, and maybe I just stink at teaching. That's why they're not interested. But it's like, it's funny because my wife said something to someone over the weekend. One of her friend's kids was like, man, I'd really like for Gabe to show me this thing on the piano or the guitar or whatever it was. And she was like, well, the only way he's going to teach you is if that kid irritates him enough to where he's like, oh, he really is interested. So that's my one example of like training people who are like not really interested.
That makes me think that specific example makes me think of a quote from Thomas Edison. I just pulled it up here real quick. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed like overalls and looks like work. And I think like what you described about being really excited day one, they're like, I'm going to be really great at this instrument. And then they realize how much work goes into actually learning it.
And, yeah,
I think that's true in the trades too. People are like, "Oh, I'm gonna come in here, use some tools. I'm gonna."
What's the sign we have in the hallway out here that takes 20 years to become an overnight success, or something like that?
Yeah. So I think that's also something that you struggle with on the training side of it. But I don't want to go on too much of a tangent about training. I just wanted to highlight that's definitely an opportunity to contribute from the truck. But I did want to talk about why we don't expect people to stay in a truck for their whole career and kind of what motivated that shift in the thinking of this company.
Like why we don't
expect
them to stay in a truck?
Or why we try to create pathways for them to move out of a truck. Because obviously, you know, from a purely economic standpoint, if you're just looking at numbers, the more people in a truck, the more profit you're going to make as a company, right? So
yeah,
it seems very counterintuitive to try to build and expand your company in ways that are going to create more positions that don't produce.
Or do they?
Yeah, that's really
the real question.
I'm really teeing it up with a misnomer, you know, because it's not accurate. But it is,
it's what's been viewed. Yeah. Well, I mean, we can go all the way back to sharks, and sharks, if they're not moving forward, they're dying.
Yeah.
And that's the way I think a lot of humans actually feel. Like, hey, if I'm not growing something,
which one of our five core values do you think really makes this necessary.
Bom, bom, bom. Hungry?
Yeah. I knew that one was going to come right to your mind as soon as I said it.
Well, sharks and hungry, I mean, they kind of go together too.
True.
But like you were saying, what makes us want to create the opportunity? Or
yeah, what makes us, like, for instance, going to Columbus. We opened a Columbus branch in 2023, and we haven't completely exploited the Cincinnati market. So, you know, why go to a new city and open it up and create another branch manager and create all the travel and all of the administrative work that has to be done to run a second branch in another city?
Yeah, one of the main reason we did that is we needed a place for people to be able to grow out of a truck.
Yeah.
Now, the guy who's running Columbus might say opposite of that now why they're establishing their branch, but it's part of the process. And when we have really good technicians that are not only just good technicians, they're good with people and good leaders. A technician is leading his truck, and sometimes those people need to be able to lead people and be around people and help people develop. But go ahead. You were going to say
something. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, it's very common to hear people say you can't lead others unless you lead yourself first.
Yeah.
And I think
Can be led. I mean, that's one of the things too.
To be in the field on your own and be responsible for a truck, you definitely have to lead yourself. Because you have to be disciplined to do a great job in the field.
Definitely. But one of the reasons we wanted to move for sure was we have these great people, and we want to give them the opportunity, because if not, I think we mentioned it an episode or two ago, they're going to become competition at some point, because there's a point where they're going to be like, I can do this. And so let's give these guys the opportunity to where we'll take the risk on and let them still do that opportunity, because we believe in these people that are doing these great things.
And it's really motivated. We're really looking at the inside motivating factor to go, you know, if you were motivated to leave your job to go start a business, you would be motivated by wanting to control your own destiny, wanting to build your own thing, wanting to, be a builder, really. And it's really not the motivation that you want to go through financial hardship and struggle and fight. It's not that. So creating an opportunity to do that inside of a company, I think, is really unique, because it gives people a way to fulfill that need. You know, I want to have autonomy. I want to be building something. I want to be contributing and creating opportunities for others. And you have that desire, but you're able to do it with the resources and the backing and the support of an established company that is there to mentor you and hopefully help you succeed. And that's the goal. And I think that's the reason. I mean, that's the reason we do it, is because we know that some of the greatest technicians in the world are going to reach a point where they have that desire to have the autonomy to create something of their own, to have that.
And share what they know.
Yeah. Spread the knowledge that they've had.
Yeah, and experience. I mean, that's a real thing. I mean, that's one of the things that I enjoy. If I ever get like a technical support question or something like that, it's usually because they're at the point where technical support's not helping me. My branch manager said to call you. You might know something that I don't know. And it's always exciting to be like, do this, this, and this, and then call me back. And every single time when they call you back, most of the time they don't call you back because they figured it out. But every once in a while, you'll get the phone back like, hey, what you said worked. And that's always like, man, I helped this guy see something new. And they're like, man, how did you know that? And then you tell them the story of the time that you had to deal with it. And then that's how you know you're old. You're telling stories of the things that we've done.
Yeah, I actually have an interesting story about that I don't think I've shared with you before from Jags. There was one time, you know, Mike Rogers, our founder, you know, he was talking with me about an example from his his time in the field, and he was talking about a job that he did on a walk-in, and I'm not going to remember the part. I'm not going to remember the part, which is going to make the story less impactful, but I'm going to go with it anyway. He described to me a service call that he struggled with in the field, and that he thought he had a bad part because the part didn't immediately, the walk-in didn't immediately start working. And when he described it to me, it made me realize one of the very first calls I ran with you, you went through the exact same struggle that he described with that exact same part. And you probably know the name of the part if I describe it to you. It's a sensor inside of a walk-in that you were like dipping it in ice to make it kick in, but it wasn't kicking in.
Like the TXV sensing bulb, or was it like the thermostat sensor?
Yeah, it was an electronic sensor.
It's probably just one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I do not remember specifically. I can't even remember if it was a cooler or a freezer we were working on, but it was an electronic component that the way that it worked, you had to understand it to understand why it didn't immediately kick everything on. And Mike described that to me, and then it made me realize what had happened to you, and you had learned exactly what he had learned the exact same way, completely without talking to each other, which to me was just interesting that even though when you're in the field and you're in a truck and you feel like you're all alone, you're really just following the path that everyone else has also already gone through that does this.
Yep.
So
that comes back to, this is kind of a funny, we were talking, I think in the Columbus branch last week, about technical support, and they said, you know, you always get put on hold with just about every manufacturer, and they're on the hold, and I said, you know what would be really cool is if while you're on hold, you get put on the phone with someone else on hold, and you could talk about the problem together with another technician. They probably already dealt with your problem.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Just get put on hold.
What are you dealing with?
Yeah. What piece of equipment are you working on? And you might get some of those stories to where you're going through, they already went through the path. Let me share this with you, and I might be able to fix the thing you're working on. I was like, that would be really cool.
That would be cool.
We have to talk to AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, whoever it is, to figure that system out.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that before. That'd be fun.
You get put on hold, and the problem with that is they would, you know, you get someone else on the phone that's also a negative Nancy, and you just destroy the manufacturer on the phone waiting for.
That's probably why they don't do it. What's the name of that app that the guys sometimes use that it's all retired technicians?
I think it's Blue On.
Yeah, Blue On.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool app.
They're not sponsoring this podcast, but Blue On, if you're listening, you know, we'd be open to it. So
I know the techs use it. I know there's like one tech that's like hardcore, loves Blue On.
Yeah.
Some of them use it. Some of them don't use it.
I always appreciated it when I was in the field, and I would use it because you'd end up talking to technicians, and you'd start to get an idea for how much you knew and how much you needed to learn.
Yeah.
Because they would ask you questions about what you knew, and that's kind of unique because other tech support, you know, they have a flow chart that they're working through, right? If not this, then this. And the techs that are experienced are not working off of that. So they're working off of your knowledge. And I remember specifically working on a water-cooled heat pump and describing to one of the Blue On tech support guys what was going on. And I just immediately started with saturated temperatures because that was something you taught me in the field. And he was like, I'm so glad that you already know that. He's like, you would be blown away how many people get on here. And they're like, PSI, PSI. And I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Just tell me the saturated temperature.
PSI only means something when it's about to explode.
So I think that's interesting that when you get to talk to other technicians that have done this for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, you start to get some idea of what you still have to learn and what you already know that's helpful. Yeah.
And sometimes, like, even not that I'm some great technician, but you've been doing it for a while, you'll hear something that's like, oh, that makes you think. I never thought of it that way. that would have saved me a lot of problems. I'm going to share that with the technicians we have now. I'm going to bring that down to these guys so that they can go see that and say, hopefully save them an hour of chasing a ghost, as they would say.
Yeah. So I do want to kind of wrap this up and just say, you know, the reason to answer the question that we posed at the beginning, the reason that we don't, or I guess rather the reason that we do pursue opportunities for our techs to move into positions that could eventually lead them out of a truck is because some of the best technicians in the industry have the desire to contribute, and most companies completely ignore it. They just expect that techs are just going to never want to contribute to other techs. They're going to be happy, you know, training the guys that they're the first people that apply to their one ad they're posting on Indeed that they hire. They think that's going to be fulfilling, and they just expect these techs to
be happy with that.
Be happy with that, and not want more. And we don't hire people that don't want more. Just because we do have the core value of hungry. We want to see people that want to grow, that they want to make something of themselves. It doesn't mean that.
Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, constant, never-ending improvement is one of the things that we definitely push hardcore here. I mean, it is a core value. And we see that if you're not constantly improving, if you're not learning today and then sharing with everyone and getting them better too.
Absolutely. I think if you're hungry, it doesn't always look the same. So I do want to clarify, I'm not saying every technician wants to become a branch manager and start a branch somewhere else. But I think every technician, and maybe not every technician, but most technicians, I think at some point want to contribute by sharing their knowledge with somebody else, want to contribute by, you know, maybe that it's literally just having input on a process or a training plan. And I don't think most companies even have that. So you don't get the opportunity to contribute what you know to the growth.
Oh, we're definitely open to that. I mean, me and one of the techs at our Wednesday Cincinnati meeting were talking about something that he's excited about that he brought up maybe 6 months ago that's in the works and almost here.
Yeah. Excuse me. So I think there's two groups of people that could be listening to this. One is a technician that's like, man, I don't want any of that. I like being in a truck. You know, great. That's awesome. And I think you need a lot of those people. And I think every one of you is contributing to your company in a really important, unique way. I think there's also the techs out there that are thinking, man, I've been feeling that, but I really love what I do. I've been feeling that, but I don't want to work in an office. And I think, you know, those are the people that are more like us, where it's like, we want to contribute in that way specifically. And we also don't want to just have an office job where you're, you know, sitting there in front of a screen all day.
No, that's not fun.
Yeah. And I mean, even the branch managers we have now will say that's not fun.
That's
the part of their job that they're not excited about. They're excited to go, you
help
know,
a tech.
Help a tech. You know, they're excited to go help a customer. They're excited to talk to the customer. It's the relationships. It's the connecting that is important to them.
Yeah.
I think that's what's important to all of us on both, you know, in both sides of it.
Yeah. There's importance to all those jobs.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to be able to be a part of that and be able to help these people grow into those positions. And I spent the weekend helping one of our technicians do a job and like seeing him where he's come from in the last three plus years has been awesome to see that, and helping him on the weekend on something that was a difficult new situation that even I was like, oof, this is a new situation. Was really cool to see him, how he processed it. And like, I wired something up and then he was like, wait a second, the wiring diagram says this. And I was like, this guy's learned a ton, because he was like showing me something that I missed. And I was like, that is awesome to see someone grow that much. So,
yeah, that is awesome. Yeah. And I think, you know, the whole point here is if you're working for a company that doesn't have that, you know, just, you know, you can look for ways to contribute on your own. I mean, obviously, our techs, our goal is to make that not the case for our techs that are feeling that way, that they have an opportunity to move up, that they have service manager roles to move into that are still out there meeting customers in the field, but also give them the opportunity to train and communicate. But if you're in a company somewhere and you feel stuck like that, you know, you're not alone, you know, and you're going to have to work a little harder to try to figure out how to, you know, fulfill that if you stay where you're at. But be encouraged. You're not the only one that's ever felt that way.
Awesome.
So that is it for today. We are going to be back next week, and we look forward to sharing our experience with you.
Talk about stuff and things.
All right. Have a great day.